It's all your prayers this morning as we look into the Word of God. The title I've written on the board is Fellowship with God's People. And I will acknowledge that this is a very important message from the Lord. But I will also say that last Sunday's was more important. Because we cannot have true fellowship with each other if we do not first have fellowship with God. And so I just wanted to add that little preface on there. We desire your prayers this morning. I'd like us to begin over in Acts in the second chapter. We'll begin reading with verse 41. Scripture says, "They that gladly received His word were baptized the same day. There were added unto them about 3,000 souls." It's speaking on the day of Pentecost. When people heard the word of God and they responded and they were baptized. And it said, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles." The scripture here is talking about those that had just gotten saved. And it said they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Now, they received it and they adhered to it faithfully, to the doctrine and to the fellowship. The Christian faith, the teaching, the instructions that the apostles were given, these that were newly converted, they adhered to it. They opened up their heart and they received it. That's where they wanted to be. Do you know this morning that I believe that one of the greatest problems today amongst people who get saved is they're not staying steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. You see, if we want to be victorious in our Christian experience, it's going to take fellowship. It's going to take fellowship with God, and it's going to take fellowship with each other where fellowship is possible. And here it said they continued steadfastly. Do you recognize this morning that we are not going to be able to be successful in our walk with God if we do not adhere steadfastly to the doctrines that we have in the Word of God? There was a desire of these people's heart. They had been out in sin, their hearts had been given to things of the world, and they had a heart change through Jesus Christ. And I will say, it seems like we live in a time, a lot of people, well, there's not a lot of people being saved to start with, but it seems like a lot of those that do get saved are wanting to do it on their own terms, in their own time, and in their own way. And I want to say, we set ourselves up for spiritual failure unless we recognize the importance of adhering with all of our heart to the doctrine and to the fellowship with God's people. These people had been unsaved, but they found themselves united in a common cause in their love for the Lord. It's what united them, a common cause. They were bound to God in a common interest, fighting the same conflict, hoping for the same eternal life. You know that ought to bind us together as God's people this morning? Association community and relationships, communion with brothers and sisters in the Lord is very important. It is vital to our survival. I will say there may come a time, and I think we're getting there pretty fast, there may come a time when it's difficult to find someone to fellowship with. But we're not there yet. I'll just say, we're not there yet. Because of Brother Cook mentioned the lukewarmness with the compromise, with the fanaticism, with people's heart not being sold out to the Lord, there comes a place I cannot fellowship that if it's not where God wants it to be. But folks, today when you find people saying, "I'm the only one," they're not the only one. There are still other people that love the Lord with all of their heart, and their desire is to please God, and the Lord is interested in us coming together in fellowship. Well, you notice I didn't just use the word fellowship. I said association, communion, community. That's what fellowship is about. Remember last week, we read in 1 John, I'm going to read it again. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, it says, "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." True fellowship is not found in anything other, true spiritual fellowship, is not found in anything other than a commonality of an experience that we have with Jesus Christ. We have fellowship one with another. Why? When we walk in the light as He is in the light. But the converse is true. If you do not walk in the light, you will not have fellowship one with another. If you are walking in darkness, if there are people this morning that have sin in their life, they cannot have fellowship with God's people. They can't do it. And many times people come around, they say, "I just feel like I'm not accepted and I'm not really one." What's the reason for that? If you're not walking in the light, there is a barrier that is there in your spirit that blocks true communion with others of God's people. You can be associated with, you can sit in the meetings together, you can go to church at the same place, but there is not true spiritual fellowship when there's sin in your life. Because true fellowship is not something that we can force. True fellowship is not something that we manufacture. True fellowship is something that's inherent in a blending of spirits because we are walking in the light as Christ is in the light. True unity and true fellowship does not come about by us saying, "You know what, we need to have greater unity, and so we're going to go in the back room and we're going to pound it out." True unity, true spiritual fellowship, and I'm going to distinguish between different kinds of fellowship. And I will say again, we're not going to finish this morning. But we're going to distinguish between different kinds of fellowship. But spiritual fellowship is the most important. Spiritual fellowship is the blending of our spirits. And it is a blend because we are one with God. It is a blend because if I've been washed in the blood of Jesus and I am walking in the light and you are walking in the light, there's just an inherent blending of spirits. It's important that we fellowship. I'm going to reiterate some of the definition I gave you all last week. Repetition is important. There are some things that Brother Cook shares quite frequently, and I'm going to touch on it in this little message. He's mentioned it quite frequently. It's repetition. Talks about when Brother Cook has talked about not only the unity of the faith, but the unity of the Spirit. I got it, Brother Cook. He said it quite frequently. I got it. It helped to hear it frequently. So I'm going to reiterate the definition. Fellowship is companionship. It's company. It's a community of interest, a common interest. And I said it last week, I'm just going to say it again. Fellowship does not imply cold, formal relationships. You come together around other people and you're just very formal and polite. You know what I'm talking about? Politeness is not fellowship. Duty is not fellowship. Their duty is part of fellowship. There's a part that duty plays. But true fellowship is a warmth. True fellowship is a blending of spirit. True fellowship is oneness. It's commonality. And fellowship, again, I said it's internal. True spiritual fellowship is something that is a blending of kindred spirits. Because we've been washed in the blood of Jesus, because we have a common interest in serving the Lord, and because we're adhering to it. See, that goes beyond a head knowledge. It goes beyond that we've come from similar backgrounds. It goes beyond that some are from the city and some from the country. True fellowship comes when there's a blending of spirits because our number one priority is the same. And what is that? That I want to make heaven at all costs. If that is not the number one priority, don't blame everybody else. if you feel a breach in fellowship. You see what I'm saying? Because I know sometimes the saints have been accused, and I believe there are places the saints can kind of, maybe we can improve on some things sometimes. But I also recognize the fact that just because someone comes around and they said, I didn't feel the fellowship. Well, if you're not walking in the light, you're probably not going to feel the fullness of fellowship. Because fellowship is something that's from one spirit to another. I think about thinking about fellowship with God's people and the warmth that's there. Last year, a group of us, and again, a lot of times I'm traveling by myself, but Renee was able to go with me. There was Matthew and Lucinda, and who went's not important, but there was a group of us that went. There were four or five others that went with me to Africa. And you know, it creates bonds when you are in circumstances like that that can never be broken. There's fellowship. And fellowship was more than we have a duty to do. We have a duty. We have a duty to do together. But do you know when you can be with people and you can share each other's burdens? Someone would start to get sick and it's like, we're not playing games with the devil here. And we would come in and reinforce each other with prayers and support. There was work for God, a common cause to work for the Lord. And at nighttime, we pray together and we could laugh together. We could have fun together. We would enjoy being together. That's fellowship. Fellowship is more than praying together. That's part of it. But true fellowship is being friendly. Fellowship is about trusting each other. Fellowship is about giving of ourselves to each other. And where we cannot do that, there is going to be a breach in fellowship. And it's going to begin to hinder the blessings that we can find in fellowship. But I my mind goes back to not only that, but I trust all of you can go back in your minds to those times of special fellowship that you've had with people. What is it that knits people's hearts together? We've been through the battle together. We've been through some trials together. We've cried together. We've prayed together. We've laughed together. And most of all, number one is we want to go to heaven together. I'm walking in the light, not just casually, I'll make it when I make it and I'll be there when I get around to it, but I'm going to adhere to fellowship with God's people because that's where my heart is. Folks, it's important for our spiritual survival this morning to seek and find that place of fellowship with each other. In the congregation here and beyond in the body of Christ, it's vital. It's important. And if we don't have it, we need to first start examining our own life. Is there something that I'm doing that's hindering the fellowship? Fellowship can only exist where there is common ground and the sameness of spirit. It's the only place fellowship can exist. Fellowship does go beyond spiritual things though, right? Have you ever noticed that if you're of the same political party, let's say, or you have the same political ideology, if you will, and you're in town and you're somewhere and a group starts talking, do you realize that there is a oneness or a commonality? People of the same political ideology are drawn together. Hence the proverbial saying, birds of a feather flock together. That's talking about fellowship, really, because there's a common interest. We politically, we're on the same page. Or maybe it's the same way with your trade or your career. Your interest, your hobbies. You notice you get in a group of people, who are you going to end up talking to a lot of times? People tend to gravitate to people that do what they do. So, you're going to school right now, then you start talking to someone who's going to school because you're interested, common interest. Oh, you're a farmer. Oh, well, you start talking about the season, the planting and the crops and because there's a common interest. That's fellowship. There's a warmth that's created there, isn't there? There's a oneness. But there is no greater fellowship found than in the oneness of a common cause in the Lord this morning. And I want to say that God desires for fellowship with one another in Christ to trump or to supersede all other fellowships that we might have. You see, we place priority on fellowships. Is it more important for me to be with others that have a common interest and are from the city? Is it more important for me to have fellowship with people that do the same work that I do? Is it more important to fellowship people that have the same hobby I have? Or is it more important to place priority on fellowshipping people that have eternity in mind? Do you see where people's priorities can start to get skewed sometimes? But if we will put God first, the Lord, then an outcome of that ought to be that we put first fellowship one with another in Christ. I was reading some of what Brother C.W. Naylor had said about this issue of a fellowship. And he brought out something I thought was noteworthy, and I began to consider and meditate upon it. There are really at least two types of fellowship when we start talking about church things. One would be the fellowship of the tie of association. In other words, we come to worship in the same chapel. Or maybe y'all go to Monarch Springs, so that's my fellowship. That's what ties together. It's association. People say, where do you go to church? What's your association? What's your fellowship? That is one level of fellowship. But the other level of fellowship is fellowship of the Spirit. The tie that unites people together because of a common origin. That origin is Jesus Christ. That's what binds people together spiritually, is because they're walking in the light. They've been washed in the blood. And that supersedes all other associations. Well, spiritual fellowship cannot be forced. Spiritual fellowship comes about when I am doing business with God for myself. Walking in the light, working on Michael by the grace of God, and you're doing that same thing. And when you come together, there ought to be an instantaneous blending of spirit that can't be manufactured and it can't be forced. It comes because we have a common place we're going. We have a common Lord. Yes, you have one personality, I have another. You're from this place, I'm from that place. You have that education, I have this education. You did this, I did that. But do you realize that what ought to rise to the top is a common cause in Jesus Christ? That can't be forced, but it can be fostered. It can be watered. It can be nourished. And I believe the Lord is interested in us doing that locally and globally. I believe the Lord is very interested in us fostering fellowship with God's people. We want to go beyond associational fellowship. And sometimes people mistake associational fellowship. Now, do you all understand my terminology? Associational fellowship is, we're all here in service this morning. We are associated because we've come to the same place to worship. But that's not the same thing as spiritual fellowship. And one of the things, I felt burdened to pass it along, to share it with you, it's very true. C.W. Naylor, on that point, had brought out how pastors, and I'll add ministers, very often take the blame and get accused for things because people are focused on associational fellowship rather than spiritual fellowship. And what that means is this: oh, if you say this or do that, they might not come to church. So who gets the blame? The ministers. The pastor. But where's our focus? Our focus primarily should be in the spiritual well-being of people. And when the truth is spoken and it's not received, I've been watching for years now, and it's getting easier and easier for people to walk away from fellowship. But we're interested. I would that the chapel be full this morning. Associational fellowship. But on the other hand, I am more interested in spiritual fellowship. And if we compromise truth or we let down, whether it's as a pastor or as the ministry, we are not willing or able to deal with problems, to reveal through the Word of God and through our example and through our life needs that are in people's lives, then what is the purpose of ministry? And Brother Naylor was bringing out how many times people blame the minister. They blame the pastor is what he was talking about. Because they're just interested in church attendance rather than what brings about true spiritual fellowship. I want to encourage us to be careful. I want to encourage us to be careful that we foster and support, number one, spiritual fellowship. And secondly, then, association is important as well. People that do not feel like they're part of the group. I touched on it. But, you know, sometimes it's not everybody else, it's what's going on in my own life. Is that true? Have you ever felt that way? I have. I'll admit that. Has anybody else felt that way before? Sometimes, I remember one time there was some situations, and frankly, I didn't feel like going to church. I'll just be real honest with you. Didn't feel like going. I knew I needed to. Because what happens when you give in to that feeling, see, there's a feeling of isolation that I was feeling in my own spirit. And if we give in to those feelings, it's going to exacerbate or compound those kinds of feelings of isolationism. And pretty soon, it's like, well, what are they doing? What is the congregation doing? What are they doing? Where are they going? Young people, it's the same way. People come to Monarch. I told some young people that came to Monarch for their first time last year, I said, listen, let me give you some advice. I said, here, you don't wait to be asked to do something. You just do it. In other words, I know people have come and said, well, nobody asked me to go. Nobody asked anybody. It just kind of, things just kind of happen sometimes. But if we ever get to a place we start to talk about them rather than us, that's indicative of something. That's telling that in my mind, in my heart, I'm feeling like this, that it's them versus, and I'm over here and I'm not a part. Do you understand what I'm saying? We have to rise above the emotions and the feelings that probably everybody experiences from time to time and push through those by the grace of God to foster the fellowship that the Lord wants there to be. And like I said, there can't be true spiritual fellowship if there's wrong in your life. Because what happens is you do begin to feel on the outside. And you may feel like you've been ostracized. You may feel like you've been cut off or people are holding you at arm's length. And you know, a lot of times, I'm not saying that that's never been true because it has been. But I will also acknowledge there are a lot of times that people that there's wrong in their life, you may not know there's sin in their life. But there's stuff going on in their lives and they start feeling like people are doing this to them. People really aren't doing that. It's a result of what's going on in here. Because there cannot be spiritual fellowship if there is sin in someone's life. Is this true? So we want to do then what we can to foster fellowship. We want to do our part to what we can do. And again, some people are more interested in the differences than they are in the commonality. What would happen this morning if we just went around? We don't have to do that. I know half of y'all are family anyway. But what if we went around and we talked about all of our differences? You know, we could, in, I know in this, as small as we are, we have some differences. And we could write a list on the board and just start focusing on what makes us different. Do you know what the devil would like to do, folks? I'm not going to say he would like to. He's trying to. Okay? He's trying to cause us. I will say, I'm going to be specific. I will say in the congregation, and I'm going to say in the body of Christ, to cause people to try to look at differences more than what ought to bind us together in Christ. Differences of personality. Differences of raising, differences of governments and approach. And so if we're not careful, we can get so focused on our differences. And you're this way, I'm that way. I like to do this, you like to do that. And if we're not careful, the enemy would like to cause those things to start to divide us. But I want to encourage us, if our desire is to foster fellowship, then what we need to focus on, what binds together. I remember I was in a minister's meeting one time, and there were differences. And someone said, well, let's look at what we have in common. Who believes this, and what about this? And everybody did, and that doesn't mean there's not a time to address differences, because there is, if it's a hindrance to spiritual walk. But what are we fellowshipping about? Why are we here this morning? What is our purpose? Well, I was just raised here, so this is where I go. And that, you know, right there, there's going to be a breach in spiritual fellowship if that's how we start filling. We may have associational fellowship, but the Lord wants it to be deeper. The Lord wants it to be deeper than that. It's because we love the Lord. Our desire is above everything else. What we heard in Sunday school about whatever the cost, I want to go to heaven. And do you know, it's helpful and beneficial to go to heaven with someone. Common cause. It's helpful to have someone by your side that has the same goals and the same purposes, as different as they might be, that our commonality in Christ should rise above our differences. Folks, can we foster that? Can we do better than maybe what's been done? Can we foster in a greater way? Lord, I want the fellowship of the Spirit. And I don't want to allow the enemy to hinder that. We are bound by the greatest, one of the most important things to all of us. And I believe that a love for God with one's whole heart, it calls for fellowship of like-minded people. If we love God with all of our heart, there is a desire. There is a desire that comes because of love for God, as having a love for our brothers and sisters in the Lord. This is why David said, and I believe it's noteworthy to mention, in Psalms 133, he said, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in what? In unity." What is unity? Oneness. Fellowship. Oneness. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And moving on down that passage, it says, "For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." Do you know that God's blessings are where there is unity and where there is fellowship? But where there is disunity and where there is disfellowship, you will find the devil lurking around every corner. It seems like everything that happens, every trial that comes up, every battle you go through, in families it happens that way, in congregations it happens that way, then there's the devil right there to try to cause disunity, to try to cause wedges, to drive wedges between people. Folks, we're going to have to combat that. We're going to have to take a stand against where the enemy would like to work, that we could have the blessings of God resting not only on our life individually, but collectively and as a people. Family, I want to touch on, and I'm trying to be, well, I have a little more this morning before we conclude. Importance and blessings of fellowship. Family, bound together by commonalities. I may have shared here before, but I remember a couple of years ago, we were out in Oregon, and my brother and my sister were there and their families, and we were all came together at Mom and Dad's house. And there was someone that was not part of the family that was there. And they sat back and watched us, and I think it was new to them. They sat back and it was kind of like, wow, that was really interesting. And they enjoyed it. But they didn't have the fellowship that we did. They were almost an observer, and we tried to, you know, bring them in and stuff. But there was something about family, just with all of the past, the commonality, the love, the warmth, the lack of suspicion, to come together and just be together and enjoy it together. We could cry together and pray together and laugh together, all of those things. That's good. That's what fellowship is about. And do you know, when family of God, if we are all born of the Spirit, we're a family. Family of God, that we should be one in Christ, that's why we say brother and sister. And when we call each other brother and sister, that is really more traditional than it is biblical. There's no command that says call someone brother so-and-so or sister. You will find just a few places where they said brother Paul. And it was a special acknowledgement that I'm wanting you to know that I fellowship you. But all through it, it talks about Peter did this and John did that. They weren't even calling each other brother and sister in the Bible. Some of that came traditionally and historically a little bit later. So there's nothing wrong with it, but that's why we're brothers and sisters. It's a fellowship in the Lord that I recognize the Spirit of God in your life. But family, who do you call when you get in trouble? You call someone that loves you and cares about you and will sacrifice for you. That's called family. Now, spiritual family, you know there's a connection that you can have in your spiritual family that rises above the connection you have with your blood family. It's a blessing if you can have both. It's a blessing if your family members love the Lord and are saved. That's wonderful. But you know, that's not always the case. And there's a fellowship. Brothers and sisters, folks, were given to us for a reason. And the family of God, it's important for us to recognize that the Lord wants us to be able to pray together and worship together and sing together. But He also wants us to be able to laugh together. I believe He does. I believe He wants us to be able to enjoy being together. I believe He wants us to share in each other's victories and failures. That, you remember Moses in the battle was getting weary, and as long as his arms were up, he had victory. And Aaron and Hur stood on either side helping him hold up his hands. You know that's part of the blessing of fellowshipping God's people. That there are people that genuinely love you and care about you. But do you know what happens if I put up a resistance against that? It means I'm going to walk through my battles by myself, and I'm not going to have someone to hold me up. But do you know, for true fellowship, there has to be an openness, and you have to be able to be willing to open up, open yourself up, and accept, this is my family, this is my brother and sister in the Lord. You know, that brings victories. There's power in unity this morning, and that's where the Scripture says one can chase a thousand, two can chase 10,000. It's talking about spiritual synergy. You can get more accomplished with two than you can with one by themselves. Two people by themselves working independently. I believe the same thing applies for us this morning. I know it does. But we ought to have a desire for spiritual fellowship. Isolationism breeds loneliness. It breeds loneliness. And, you know, people can start feeling so lonely sometimes. And they feel like they're by themselves. And they're just... I want to say, if you love the Lord this morning, you don't have to be by yourself. That might be a choice you've made. But God has a support group for you. There are people that genuinely care. But you know what happens if you don't love people and genuinely care about them? You will be suspicious if anybody says that they care. You ever notice that? People that come in say, well, you know, everybody's a hypocrite. You know why they're saying that? It's because they're a hypocrite. They're not living it. But when you have the experience yourself, you know there's something real. But so if I look at everybody and say, oh, you don't really care, you don't really love, that may just be a testament more that I don't really care about you and I don't really love you. And so it's hard for some people to accept that someone really cares about me because they don't really care a lot about everybody else. Foster. See, unity and fellowship, it's a two-way street. And there are times that you can reach out to someone and they go like this to you. You can only do so much. You can only do so much. But on the other hand, if you're the one doing this, recognize that everybody else can only do so much too. We can offer. We can say, can we support you? Can we be there for you? But if you don't respond, if you want to do this, that's your choice as well. But who's the loser? It means we're going to be lonelier. It means we're going to bear our burdens alone when God has given us brothers and sisters to help carry our burdens. Why do you think then that the devil is fighting so hard against unity among God's people? Because he knows how valuable it is. He's fighting hard against it because he knows how important it is. And I said isolationism breeds loneliness, but it also breeds suspicion. And do you know when there is suspicion, there's a lack of confidence, isn't there? suspicion, unfounded, but you know, looking at you a little cross-eyed. It breeds
a lack of confidence, and when there's a lack of confidence, that breeds more suspicion, and it turns into a vicious cycle. It breaks fellowship.
So then we have to come back and say, Lord, help me to have my heart and my spirit where you want to bring about a stronger and greater fellowship among us as God's people. Wouldn't you all give me some more time this morning? You go to conventions that are more than 30 minutes and pay for them. All right. I'd like to share another scripture. Hebrews 10. I really wanted to conclude this all today. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. He said, let us consider one another to provoke. Provoke? Provoke unto love. Provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. He's talking about associational fellowship here. Come together, but it's difficult to maintain spiritual fellowship if you don't have associational fellowship, see? It's important that we not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And he said, as the manner of some is. You know, Paul was talking about that in his own day. There are people that aren't coming out to fellowship. And Paul said, don't be like other people. You be there. Make it a priority to come and fellowship, especially as you see the days approaching. Folks, the time, this was 2,000 years ago. How much more do we need the encouragement and the strength from each other as the day is approaching? Folks, the battle's getting hotter out there. Do you feel the heat? It's getting hotter, and we need each other. We need each other's support and backing and love and encouragement. And he said, don't forsake the assembling of yourself together. I want to tell you what happens when people begin to forsake the assembling of themselves together. One of it is they do start to feel lonely. They start to feel like it's them versus, you know, and I'm out here. And they talk about the congregation, God's people, as what are they doing? No, it ought to be, what are we doing? Oh, I wasn't here Wednesday night. What are we doing next week? You know, I didn't get a calendar. Where are we going to go next week? Where are they going? In other words, all right, there you're drawing some lines. And the devil works hard, folks. If we begin to develop that mentality, the devil will be in the mix. I want to tell you something else that coming together does for us. It gives encouragement. Have you ever come to service and been encouraged by a testimony, a prayer, a song? A message, something that the Lord ministered to you, that if you would, how many blessings have you missed by not coming to service? None of us know, do we? And I will say is that from a pastor's perspective, there have been times the Lord, well, almost all the time, the Lord gives a message and half are gone. It's like, Lord, what? And then people say, well, I've never heard that before a year later. And I'm thinking, we had Bible studies on that. Where were you? Where were you? We studied that. We talked about that. We discussed that. In other words, we're the losers when we forsake the assembling of ourselves together. There are vital things that the Spirit of God has to impart to us, but we have to make a choice to be there. And again, I want everybody to know, I say this in love, I know there are times that we can't be there. I know that. But I also we'll have to acknowledge the other side of it as well. I also know there are times we could be, and maybe we're not. That's what we're dealing with. When we have choices to make, and we can all rearrange schedules, but normally what it comes down to is we prioritize. And I just want to challenge us in love and encourage us all, continue. And again, I'm preaching to people who are here, okay? So I want to encourage you to continue to not forsake the assembling of yourself together. It's important. It's vital to spiritual growth and for your own encouragement. And I will say something else, coming together, an association that it does, it brings accountability. Have you noticed that? When you come to service, it brings accountability. If I don't, there's a measure of accountability there. And if I begin to isolate myself from my brothers and sisters in the Lord, I will start feeling more independent. And I will not have the accountability spiritually that the Lord wants us to, not that we're looking over each other's shoulders, but when I'm there and I hear the Word of God and I hear the testimonies and I'm rubbing elbows with my brothers and sisters in the Lord, it brings a challenge and accountability to me personally. And if I don't like that, then I'm going to start doing this too, right? I may start stepping back because I don't want to feel that accountability. But if our desire is to make heaven, then we should welcome that accountability. We should welcome the challenge and the encouragement that comes. There is danger of leaving fellowship. There's a great danger there, and I'm going to be done shortly. One of the dangers is that it causes us, many times people get out of balance when they stop fellowshipping with God's people. See, what they say is, I'm still serving the Lord and I'm fellowshipping with God. I'm walking with God, but they're not fellowshipping with God's people. I've seen people down through the years that have done that, and almost without fail, they start getting out of balance and warped spiritually because they don't have anybody to help balance them. Even in an understanding of doctrine, and you know, sometimes people get too lenient here and too maybe fanatic here. And just fellowshipping with God's people helps us all kind of keep a balance spiritually. So if we isolate ourselves, there's real danger. There's real danger that we get out, and pretty soon we have solidified in our minds that it's this way. And if we would have fellowshipped with God's people, it would have brought about a tempering. To our perspectives and our views and our spirit. And there is a me-only mentality that comes when people break fellowship and they say, I'm the only one. You know, I can't fellowship. I'd like to fellowship, but no one's good enough. I'm going to say, we're getting there, folks. There may come a time before the Lord returns, but I want to say again, we're not there yet. And people that I have also observed that people that get this me-only mentality, it brings about a real spirit of self-righteousness. It's like nobody else is good enough. No one else is good enough. And that's the other side of this important fellowship. If we can't fellowship, we need to be very careful and ask ourselves, why can't I? Why can't I? Fellowship is very important this morning. I think we're going to conclude there for now. But fellowship, there are so many blessings in fellowship. And I believe this is where God's blessings are. This is where there's unity. It's where there's a blending of spirit. When you get in trouble, there's someone there that wants to help you. There's someone there that really cares. Now, if you won't let them help, if you cut yourself off from them, then don't turn around and blame your brothers and sisters when they tried. Don't turn around and say, no one cares. I found there are situations that they're almost no-win situations. You know what I'm talking about? There are people that have chosen to distance themselves from God's people. It happens in congregations. It happens in the body at large. And if no one calls them, then they're offended. Like, well, nobody really cares about me. And if you call them or you try to reach out to them, it's like, well, they're just, you know, why don't they just leave me alone? I can be there if I want. I don't want to be there. It's no one's situation. So what are we going to do? You see, it makes a difficult place. But what we can do in our own life is, Lord, I want to foster. I want to foster fellowship. I want to be there. It's important. May the Lord bless you all. I appreciate the fellowship of the saints. I appreciate the fellowship we have. I don't want to see the devil drive a wedge, but it's going to take fostering. It's going to take recognizing the importance of it and working. And just like in marriage, maybe I need to sit down. We're going to get there. But just like in marriage, do you know, there are differences, aren't there, in marriage? There are differences. So what do? Do you say, oh, well, there's a difference there. See you later. Oh, she's kind of in a bad mood today. I guess soul stay away, and that's all there is to it. Oh, he seems to be kind of grumpy today. I guess I'm in a better just stay out of the way. Is that the end of your marriage? Has anybody ever here been a little grumpy? Anybody? All right, Brother Leroy. But do you know there's a place that sometimes people, you know, maybe your day is just not going real good. But do you know in marriage, the common love and bond and cause and care for each other, it rises above those difficult days. When you foster it and you still love and you still care and you want to be there to help rather than to push down and hinder, you know, among God's people, it's the same way. There's going to be some things that happen sometimes, little trials, little rough spots that we go through. How are we going to handle it? Like marriage, let's not throw our hands up in the air, but let's foster what brings about closer unity and fellowship. And you know where it starts? It starts in your home, then it starts here in the congregation, and then out, broadens out into the body of Christ. Thank you for your time this morning.